So today we're going to look at chapter 16, verses 16 to 33, which is the last part of this chapter. And let's listen to God's word, ESV translation. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you'll see me. So some of the disciples said to one another, "What's this that he says to us? A little while you will see, you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, "Is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you'll ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. I've said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father." And the disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not you're using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God bless the reading of his word. Well, we have an interesting passage today. Interesting passage. And my title is even more interesting. My title is "Light Up a Cigar." Light up the cigar. Now, cigars have made a rebound. People like to sit around and have fellowship around a cigar. And there you see specialty stores all over the nation that sell all kinds of specialty smokes, different kinds of cigars. Now, I am not a cigar connoisseur. In fact, I have never had a smoke of any kind. But I've been around people who do smoke and who do even smoke cigars. Now, I ain't hating, but I want to say that it's true that smoking won't keep you from getting to heaven. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. But smoking might get you there faster. It may get you there faster. So I believe we ought to heed the Surgeon General's warnings as best we can. But preparing to light up a cigar, lighting up a cigar, what does that mean? Now, some of you don't know how does that relate to this passage. So some of you are already thinking about where I'm going. This is a throwback to a day long ago. Providentially, we have this passage on Mother's Day. My title is not meant to slight mothers at all, but it's meant to take us back to a time long ago when men were not in the delivery room when babies were born. Some of you know where I'm going now. This upper room discourse was quite an emotionally and intellectually draining experience for these men. They had a lot to take in. The truth that Jesus was leaving them, that they would not be faithful to him, that one of them would be the culprit, that they would be hated, that they would be empowered beyond their wildest expectations through the Holy Spirit, that they were expected to have a supernatural love for one another by washing feet. This is all that they've been hearing that night, and this was a lot of information to take in mentally and emotionally. And he was leaving them. They were feeling sadness. They were feeling fear. And yet, he's telling them in the midst of it all, don't let your hearts be troubled. That's why I began this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Be at peace. So Jesus winds it up by helping his disciples focus on his central truth by giving them a simple, concrete illustration. Verse 21 is an illustration. So in the old days, men would pace the floor of the hospital for hours, worrying, waiting. And finally, when they heard that their child was born, it was a boy, it was a girl. They didn't have reveal parties back then. You heard your baby was born, it was a boy, it was a girl. And men would then light up a cigar and pass it to get a cigar around to their friends. See, the illustration that Jesus gives is an illustration about childbirth. Jesus points to the pain and the anguish of childbirth, which is followed by incredible feelings of joy. And he associates with their feelings, the feelings the apostles are having right there. And he says that joy will only be for a little while. My main point, even in the darkest of our circumstances, in the darkest of our circumstances, we can have the hope of ultimate joy in Christ. And there are a lot of people who are having horrible circumstances in our world today. In Christ, the ultimate answer is joy. When you watch a story or read a novel, one of the things that keeps you reading is waiting to see what's going to happen at the end. How's it going to be resolved? How's the story going to be resolved? You know, will it be a comedy, the good guys winning, or will it be a tragedy, the bad guys winning, the good guys losing? The classic phrase is comedy and tragedy. In Christ, we should be optimists because in Christ, the story ends in victory. It's a comedy. Christ wins. And Jesus wants the disciples to know that their ultimate joy is right around the corner. In Christ, the last page of the book is always a page of victory and joy. And that's true for us who are in Christ. He promised us an eternal last page of joy. Now, Jesus predicts the same thing for us. As we wind down this upper room, I want you to see that they will weep, and then they will rejoice, and then they will be scattered. He predicts three things. They're going to be weeping. They're going to be rejoicing, but they're also going to scatter. There's some of the things he talks about there. But the good news is summarized in this illustration we're going to look at. And it's very appropriate for Mother's Day. I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about anguish, joy, and peace. Anguish, verses 16 to 20. Jesus predicts that they will be sorrowful. They'll be weeping. They will be feeling anguish. They'll have great sorrow. And I believe that is at his departure, because he's going to be departing soon. And if you look at verses, from verse 16 to 19, very often you see the phrase that they talk about here, a little while. Look, it starts, a little while, you see no longer. And again, a little while, you see me. And they said, what are you talking about? There's this back talk. They're whispering to themselves, what's he talking about, this little while stuff? What's he talking about? They're totally confused. They don't understand it. Jesus, what's this business you're talking about? But they didn't ask him. And so he says, I hear you. I see you guys talking about this little while stuff. Now, the little while. Is he talking about when he comes through the Holy Spirit? Because he's been talking about coming again to them through the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would come and then they would have truth and they would have someone beside them. Is that what he's talking about? Because he's been talking about the Holy Spirit a lot coming to them, and they would have joy in the Holy Spirit. Is he talking about the time when they would be taken to be with him? And he said, in my Father's house, there's many rooms, many mansions, many abiding places. Is he talking about when they will see him eventually in heaven? What is this little while they will no longer have sorrow? What's he talking about? Well, I believe that, and I don't think they understood this at this point, but I believe he's talking about in 3 days. This is Thursday night, before he dies, and by Sunday morning, they're going to have that joy. He's talking about the little while was going to be the little while is Friday and Friday evening and Saturday evening when they're in great sorrow, but on Sunday morning, they will have great joy. So he said, he talks about the lament that will happen and the joy, the rejoicing that will follow. I heard a pastor yesterday, last night, talking about the shelter, this sheltering that we're doing. And he made a comparison that I hadn't thought about from the scriptures. He talked about the story of Genesis of Noah's Ark. He talked about how people are now at a place in our world where everybody is kind of going through sorrow and sadness and being tired of being in a house, and they kind of want to get outside. And he said that it's kind of like Noah's Ark. You know, we know there's danger out there, but we're tired of being in here. He said, think of the many days of being on the ark. And I said, why? And I said, wow. I mean, the Noah and his family, you know, and we know what is sometimes when families can shelter in too long, you know, you got to get sick of each other. Imagine not only that, but imagining having all these animals on the ark with you. I don't want to go into the details, but that would not be a pleasant experience to the olfactory senses. Day after day after day, and you just want to get out of there, but you can't get out of there. You better not get it out because it's worse out there than in here. And this pastor was saying that that's the way we ought to sense where we are right now. But there's a lot of people who are waiting to get out of their homes and go and rejoice. And I would say that we ought to just wait, because that day of joy will happen in a little while. In a little while, we'll be doing that. So Jesus wants the disciples and wants us to know that there is joy coming. Is joy coming? And I believe he's alluding to the resurrection morning. Many of you probably know the classic sermon by Reverend Tony Campola. Years and years ago, he gave a sermon about the fact that that on Friday of Easter, of Good Friday, there's nothing to be happy about, nothing at all to be joyful about. And he goes through all the things that were happening on Friday, the feeling of the disciples, the pain of watching Jesus' mother, the women. He talked about the fact that those who crucified Jesus thought they had won victory. And his sermon was simply called, "It is Friday, but Sunday's coming." Some of you know that sermon, I'm sure. And we need to have that understanding in our hearts right now, that it's Friday, but in a little while, Sunday's coming. And then Sunday is the resurrection morning. We're waiting now, we have anguish now, but Sunday's coming, the time of great joy and happiness because of the resurrection of Christ. And that's true for all of us. And that's my second point. Yeah, we have anguish, but verses 21 to 28 begin to talk about the joy. The joy. And in verse 21, we have this illustration he gives. He's told them in a little while, and they didn't understand it. So he says this in verse 21. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she's delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. That's his illustration. That's what Jesus says here that begins to help them understand of what he's talking about. That, yeah, there's going to be a hard time they're going to have. They didn't really realize all that was going to happen. Jesus had said many times he's going to die. He's going to be beaten and taken and die. And they heard it, but they didn't really hear it. And so he gives this illustration. And they said that, and the illustration of a woman, the pain of childbirth, they get that. They understand that. Jesus, it says in Hebrews about Jesus that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured the cross that was anguish for him. It was painful for him. That's why he's going to go to the garden and say, "Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." It was a horrible experience physically and emotionally and spiritually for Jesus to go through the agony of the cross. And he relates that to the agony and the pain of a woman in childbirth. And of course, we have five children. 1984 was our first child born, Joshua. I was there. I was in the room. I was there when the doctor said, "Oh, there's a problem, and we had to have an emergency cesarean section in the middle of the night." Scary experience, but I was there to hold Terry's hand through that experience. And yes, there was great joy that morning. I was so relieved. And I remember she recovered. I remember one of the memories of the next morning, that was on a Wednesday night. On that Thursday morning, me and several other guys, we always went to play basketball. on a Thursday morning with some guys. They worked overnight, and I worked in the ministry. And I remember I couldn't miss that day. I was tired, but I was so happy. I was floating, and I couldn't miss. I was so happy that day that Josh was born, Terry was okay, and we'd dodged this great crisis. The joy of it. And then let me fast forward to 1992. As many of you know, that we had three kids at one time. The triplets were born, our last three kids, and I was there that day too. I was there that day. That was a scheduled time where within 1 minute, three babies came out. I just sat there amazed. One of the things I remember about it was they had a set of nurses for each of the three. And it was like Grand Central Station in that big room of a GPMC. That's my main memory. But again, great joy that after this long labor, this horrific time, that it was over. And now we had three healthy babies. But I also want to jump back to 1964. I was 10 years old. And I hear an amen from the cat. I was 10 years old, and my sister Vicky was born, and my dad. She's the youngest. The other four of us, my three sisters and I, were in the living room. My dad was there. We were doing book reports. We were doing something. My mom had us do book reports during the summer. My dad was we were around the living room just kind of waiting, and the phone call came that the baby was born. It was a girl. Vicky was fine. My mother was fine. And that's the way it was done. My dad was not in the waiting room. My dad didn't pull out a cigar. I think by then he'd stopped smoking. I don't know. But the reality is that back in the day, you had the great joy of a baby being born. But a dad was not a part of that, not there to be with the many of you. That's history for many of you, but it's part of my life. And thinking about this passage, I think about the contrast and the joy of being able to witness the birth of my children now. Jesus points the disciples to something that was very normal. The anguish, the fear, the anguish of childbirth, and the temporary pain that's real pain that a woman would feel during childbirth, and then the incredible joy that happens afterward. During this Mother's Day, I want you to think about that you are here because your mama went through that kind of pain and had that kind of joy after it. The passage moves on. He talks about the fact that they're going to have the ability to have prayers answered in his name. Look at verses 23. And lost my patch. It's here. Here it is. Verses 23 and 24 and 26. Look at what he says. In that day, you'll ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Again, in verses 24 and 26, in my name. I want to just touch on that very, very quickly, because what does this mean to pray? Is that some sort of a slogan that we say just at the end of our prayers to make sure that God will answer it? It's more than that. To pray in the name of Jesus is to pray in the authority of Jesus, in the righteousness of Jesus, and it's to pray that which is consistent with the will of Jesus for our lives. It has to do with access, and has to do with authority and with the consistency to God's will. You know, many of us, probably all of us now, in order to get money, I think the banks are closed. You've got to go to the ATM machine. You ever go to the ATM machine and you put the wrong password in? Well, you're not going to get anything out, are you? You have got to put the right password into your machine, or you get nothing. You know, a password is a powerful thing. Amen. Well, in Jesus' name is almost like our password. It gives us entry into the riches of heaven. It gives us access to the throne of God. In Jesus' name, he says, there's something that happens if we pray in the authority and the will of Jesus. It gives us access. It gives us the great sense of being in Christ and of Christ being in us. And Jesus reflects the love of the Father for us. And we've access not only to Jesus, but to the Father. Verse 25, there's a contrast that he talks about here between, he said, I say these things in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech. We'll tell you plainly about the Father. So he knows that they're not understanding totally what he's saying. He's giving them an illustration. He's hoping that they could begin to see what he's talking about. He says, the time's coming when I'm going to speak plainly. And I think he's talking about the 40 days between the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the ascension. If you remember in Acts chapter 1, it says that he talked to them of the things of the kingdom of God between the resurrection and his going back to his Father. I think the things we have from the apostles is much more clear because of that 40-day period. Because here, the night before he died, they still don't understand that much. They're so confused, but they're going to understand. And he's going to be raised, they're going to have joy, and there'll be a little over a month of him teaching them, explaining to them all the things, putting a ribbon around all the teachings he's done in the gospel that they've heard and reminding them that's what that meant. That's what's going on. He's going to speak plainly to them. So they're going to have a clean, clear knowledge of him. And then the last word here is the word peace. Verses 29 to 33 as the passage winds down. Now look at verse 29. He says, now you're speaking plainly and not using figure of speech. They think they understand here. They think, he says, I think the window is opening. They're beginning to understand something of what he's saying. And so he says, now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. So they are understanding a little bit more than they knew when the conversation began. And they're saying, we know, now we understand, now we believe. So they're saying, okay, Jesus, we got it. We got it now. And look at what Jesus says. This is so like Jesus. Do you now believe? The hour is coming, indeed is, when you'll be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. He's saying, okay, you believe, but do you really believe? And let me say to you, saints, you believe in Jesus. Do you really believe? That's to all of us. What does it mean to believe? Is it just our head, when push comes to shove, when we're challenged, when we're fearful, when belief is tested, do we really believe? It says, you leave me alone, yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. So Jesus questions the depth of their belief, just as I'm sure at times he questions the depth of our belief. And he predicts their scattering, and that's a real thing. This is not the first time in the upper room he's told them they would be scattered. But this is a real thing, and their fear is real. It's more real than they think it is. In verse 33, he wraps up the entire John 13 through 16 section, this upper room teaching. I think he wraps it up right there. Despite all that will happen, they're given his peace. Look at what he says. I've said these things to you. This is the whole from 13 on, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus wants them to have his peace. When I read those verses, I thought about the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4 in particular, in Philippians, the Apostle Paul is writing from a prison. That's a prison epistle, prison letter. It's a dirty Roman prison. It's dirty. It's stinky. He might be chained to somebody or chained to something so he can't get out. He's on house arrest maybe. And yet in that book of Philippians, he says this, chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. He's saying that from prison, folks. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So in Philippians 4, those four verses, Paul says, be joyful because I'm joyful, and know the peace of God because I know the peace of God. In Paul's experience of anguish in a prison, he can have that joy and peace, and he wants the church, he wants you and I, whatever our prison is like, whatever our experience is like, to know that there's peace and joy available to us. It's true for us. There's a picture in the psalm. There's one of the smallest psalms, is Psalm 131. Let me read Psalm 131 to you. It's only three verses. 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. If you never really looked at that psalm, reflect on it. It's a great Mother's Day psalm. He associates the peace, I don't know if this is David or who it is, he associates the peace in his heart to the peace of a weaned child in his arms of his mother. That's the picture. And the last verse, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That's all the psalm is. That's the picture of that psalm. The peace and the joy that's available to each one of us if we would put our hope in Christ each day. So Jesus then proceeds to Gethsemane. Many believe that chapter 17, he's beginning to go to Gethsemane. Maybe he's arrived there, maybe he hasn't left, but Gethsemane is his next experience. Chapter 17, which Brother Eric will look at next week, is the priestly prayer of Christ. But what we've seen here is Jesus says that there's going to be real anguish, real pain, real sorrow, real hurt, real fear. But if in a little while, there'll be joy and there'll be peace that's going to come. And that's available to us even in the darkest of circumstances. Mother's Day should remind us of that. It celebrates the fact that each one of us came to the world through the trauma of childbirth. Somebody took care of us when we could not take care of ourselves. Likewise, in our own discipleship, our own walk with God, we enter this world through the new birth, through trauma. In fact, Acts 14 says about the Christian life, it is through tribulation they will enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14. And yet, the joy and peace that we have in spite of the tribulation are real. Are we experiencing that joy and that peace right now? During this pandemic, while we're sheltered home, with all the boredom maybe, or the frustration, or the busyness, or the weariness, or the sameness, or the routine, are we experiencing God's peace? Are you fighting for that peace each day? We only do that as we rest in Him, as we rest in Him. Let me close with the lyrics of a song by Amy Grant. There, some of you know this song. It's an old song. I like old songs. Did you know I'm an old guy? Got a ticket coming home. Wish the officer had known what a day today has been. Then I stumble through the door, dropping junk mail on the floor. When will this day end? But then your letter caught my eye. I brought the hope in me to life. 'Cause you know me very well. And I bet you wrote me just to tell me that in a little while, we'll be with the Father. Can't you see Him? Smile. In a little while, we'll be home forever. In a little while, we're just here to learn to love Him. We'll be home in just a little while. Boy, that letter hit the spot. Made me think of all I've got and all that waits for me. Guess I've known it all day long. Wonder where my thoughts went wrong. When will my heart believe? Because in a little while, we'll be with the Father. Can't you see it? So smile. In a little while, we'll be home forever. In a little while, We're just here to learn to love him. We'll be home in just a little while. That's God's word for us today. Weeping may indeed endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. It may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. May God enable us by the Spirit, by his indwelling presence, to give us the peace, the joy, the hope, the faith that comes to us as we trust in Christ, as we rest in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this reminder from your word that indeed life is not a bed of roses. There's pain, there's sorrow, there's anguish, but that's just a tunnel to what towards the other side with this great eternal joy, hope, and peace and life. Lord, help us to remember these truths, even this Mother's Day, as we ponder the wonder of motherhood, which is such a picture to us of the gospel. May we love our mothers, and may we love you who've given us mothers. Bless our time. Thank you for your word. Remind us of these truths this week in Jesus' name. Amen.